When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lumos. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Shell Cottage Radio. I'm your host, and I am your secret keeper. Send them to me, and I shall keep those secrets. My name is Ezra. And I'm also known as Bill. I'm also known as Sir Ezra the Watchful, the History of Magic professor, and other things. The Flannel Wizard, too. Where am I going? What's going on with this intro?
Many, obviously, hey. What does Sauron say?
I have many names. None given to me, though. Let me just be clear about that. Let me get back to the script. Obviously, yours truly. Please welcome your lovely design witch, the fascination of this year, Triwizard Champion herself, my wonderful co-host, and yours, Lottie, a.k.a. Fleur.
Hello, and einen wunderschönen guten Tag. It's so good to have you back in our beautiful little cottage on the outskirts of Tinworth. Kommt rein und macht's euch gemütlich. Willkommen to episode 102, in which we discuss Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. This week, we'll talk about the first task, which is chapter 20. We'll give you a quick life update with our homemade cottage ketchup, feed our brains with important trivia knowledge, and then dive head on into our chapter summary audio experience. And I concentrated very hard on that last part this time.
That was good. You did a great job. You know what I just realized?
Yeah.
Nobody care on the video, or I'm sorry, on the audio version, no one's gonna care. But I realized I left off the last time. You look at the screen, so many things to remember. I left off on the most recent episode, the little banner. It doesn't matter, but it's the Shell Cottage Radio, a Cozy Potter podcast.
I know.
Heading.
I know.
And you didn't even say anything to him about it.
Well, you have so many things that you have to remember, and I didn't want to add to it, and it's such a small thing.
Yeah, I get
so
you.
So okay. I was like, it's okay. People know by now.
Yeah, but
this
just,
is Shell Cottage.
I know they do. It just looks good, though. I just think it looks good, so I thought I'd throw it on there. But
good. Nice.
Anyway, hey, we are just right back at it, friends. We just recorded not too long ago. You just heard it this past Wednesday. Some of you are hearing it who knows when. But for us, this is a pretty recent recording. We're trying to get ahead of the game here.
For you guys, we brought the energy on a Monday afternoon, and now we're bringing the energy on a Friday afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you might think to yourself, oh, yeah, Friday, everyone's going crazy and they're wild and it's going to be great. It's going to be a great episode. Lottie's just barely holding on, guys. That's not true. You know, we jammed out to some German pop tunes.
We did.
On the way home, so that way I could get
Thanks,
her.
Thanks, Julia.
Yeah, I got her in her native language there, kind of getting her hyped on a Friday because she was fading. Fading fast.
But it's so nice and cozy on the ride home when I'm, you know, just in the passenger princess seat. And it's nice and warm, or sometimes not so warm. If the Flannel Wizard is too hot in the car, then they...
Yeah, I give you a blanket, though. I mean, you can have a blanket and you can
turn
on
the air conditioner, the AC.
Yeah, but it gets warm driving. Yeah, it gets hot,
I get that.
So,
but it's good. It keeps me awake.
Yeah, which
is cold.
Which leads us to here, friends. We are back and we are after it. Cottage ketchup. What's been going on? How you doing? What's up? I mean, I haven't talked to you all day long.
I know. We were in the same building, but we didn't really talk that much.
Yeah.
had to teach Spanish today. That was fun.
I wanted you to walk in and just start with something. Did you do that with German? Did you like open up with a German?
Yeah, like, I often tell them I speak German.
No, I mean, did you speak German to them? That would have been funny.
Well, it was a couple of groups. I said Guten Tag.
Okay.
Because I think some of the groups they have at least heard tiny little phrases in German because they take German, French, and Spanish each in middle school.
Right.
So they have to. It's mandatory, at least in our district. So
true.
To transition us though into before I do that though, how are you doing?
Oh, you guys want to know how I'm doing? Really, thirdly? Well, guess what? I am doing just fine. I'm doing just dandy.
Dandy.
What has been going on with me? I don't know. Oh, so next week, I'm just gonna be honest, folks. You want to know? You really want to know? Ez had some heartburn this week's, you know?
Yeah.
I've had some heartburn. I don't know what's going down. I haven't had heartburn in like 5 years.
Yeah, which is
literally,
good.
Literally, yeah. Like I haven't had it. I know exactly what it is. I mean, I ate that burger up there in Port Clinton. I had fries. I had Asian food. I can't even tell you what all. Like, I was sort of like, when you came back, I was sort of like, whatever. Like, Lottie's back. Let's go.
Let's have a good time.
And I never really came back down from that. Although I did, I think also the thing that I didn't realize I was doing wasn't really just that. I think it's the combination of that. And then maybe some of you guys are out there are like this or maybe not. But what if it's this water, if it's alkaline water? You would think that would help, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm splashing it all over the computer. Splash, everything's like sizzling. Because I started drinking this alkaline water, I'm just now, right in the moment, picking this up. Do you think that causes heartburn? Alkaline water?
No.
You know?
No. Nope.
pH 9.5, isn't it supposed to help? It's supposed to help a little bit.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, back on...
most things are acidic that we consume.
Right, back on point here. So, what I've noticed, and I already know it's not, because I take a swig of this, and do you see how jittery I am right now?
Is it because of the lack of coffee?
It's the coffee! It's
too much.
It's too much. I think that... for weeks upon weeks, like my sleep schedule was really weird. When you were over in Germany, I would go to bed early, get up super early, 4 o'clock in the morning or something. And I'd be like, all right, cool, grinding, go to the gym, get some content done, whatever. And then I'll be like, you know, 9 o'clock, need a coffee. And I already got a coffee at 7:20, got a second one by 9. Maybe I get one at noon. It was bad.
Mm-hmm.
It got bad.
Yeah.
And I think my body was sort of like, normally I get like an eye twitch, which is sort of like your tell. It's like, hey, dude, you need to calm down.
Yeah.
And I didn't get it this time. I got like a little one. So I was like, oh, maybe that kind of mm-hmm. cued me in that maybe it was the coffee. But yeah, I got a problem. I have a coffee problem. And so it needs to
Don't
be
we all?
Fixed. Yeah, but... but some people's aren't that bad, you know? Some people just have it and they're good, right?
Yeah.
And they have their one and they're fine. But there would be nights where I was trying to record with like Lane and we'd be up till like 1 or 2 in the morning.
Yeah. It's when you go against your, what is it called?
Circadian
rhythm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so bad. And I kind of have to tell him, like moving forward, I can't do that. Yeah. I really cannot keep doing it because... It would be as bad as like going out to party for like a few hours. Like as like in your 30s, you just don't do it anymore. You know, like you're good with like a little happy hour scene, and like we're good, man.
Yeah.
All right, we're moving on. It's not good for you. But anyway, it was like I don't know. I was staying up so late, drinking so much coffee, and it caught up with me. And then I think then when you came back, and I had some. Oh, God bless you. Wow, we got all sorts of stuff going on. There's lots of things happening here on this episode.
I could feel it coming, but I thought I could prevent it, and then it just
happened. I could see you actually trying to prevent it. You were like, you kind of went like distant. Your eyes kind of like drifted off. Like, stop it. Try and behave. Didn't work. Anyway, all that to say, been having some heartburn. Gonna be trying to. It's actually gone away as soon as I just stopped drinking coffee. So
yeah. That's good.
That was a long-winded way of telling you guys that I need to
that you're doing well.
I'm doing great. Actually, I really do feel good. I'm pumped for this weekend. It's Ohio State versus Oregon, number 2 versus number 3.
Yes.
Big game. We're going to go over to my dad's and watch that and hang out. Mm-hmm. So it should be fun. And other things going down. Don't know. We finished up Rings of Power, so if anybody's interested in Rings of Power stuff, sorry. It was, like I said last week, a little bit negative over there on the reviews, but I did, you know, whatever. I've been reading my Tolkien book, having a good time, watching vids, And actually about to dive more deeply into some Harry Potter content. I'm going to be making some long-form videos here soon.
Yay! Let's
yeah.
go.
Yeah. yeah. So that's all for me.
I actually this time came up with a transition into the catch-up because I thought we just recorded literally, it feels like 2 days ago. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I thought, what's there to tell people after 2 days? Not much has happened. So I came up with a question and I did the old school, what would you, you know, things you would ask your best friend. So this is not like one of the craziest questions on there. I thought, let's start with something really easy.
Oh, dang. You got me excited.
And it also has a connection to this chapter, which I'll mention after you answer the question.
Okay.
What subject or topic or thing would you take a crash course in? If you had, let's say, a whole week where you didn't have to go to work, you don't have any other responsibilities, but the clue is you have to go take a crash course in something.
Dang.
And okay. you can focus your entire energy on that.
What would I do? Yeah. Mine would probably be Photoshop.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I would do Photoshop because I've learned a little bit, enough to be dangerous. Not quite that dangerous, yeah. but I think if I learned a lot more, dang, I could really do some crazy stuff. So cool. Yeah, I see what other people do with it. I went on this huge sort of kick where I was watching YouTube videos and they were making glow effects and outlines mm-hmm. and highlights and how do you pull different features out and how do you really maximize the use of that program.
Yeah.
And I don't maximize the use of it. I just sort of have templates and different things that I try to mm-hmm. kind of play around with. But I think I would do a deep dive on Photoshop and learn it because I know Adobe Premiere really well.
Yeah.
But I think learning that would be great too. And then after that, I would learn After Effects.
The yep. whole package.
The whole package.
Yeah, that yeah. sounds good.
What about you?
Right now, honestly, I will take a crash course on like a small business 101. Like,
yeah.
What do I give me a list of things I have to think about and do when starting a small business? So this is like my biggest fear right now because I have zero background in business, but I have a lot of creative ideas and to bring them to life and maybe make a little small business out of it. That's
yeah.
definitely some knowledge that a knowledge gap that I would like to close. And the reason why I asked this question and it relates to the chapter is because I thought it was so fascinating and hopefully we get to talk about this in the chapter discussion is that Harry thought there was something he just couldn't do. He almost developed a
block.
Mm-hmm. like in my mind right now. He developed a block around this spell. But then when all of a sudden he needed to master it because literally his life depended on it.
Yeah.
All of a sudden he found the time to
yep.
do it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty awesome. That shows you something. But we'll talk more about this later.
Yeah. No, I like that. I think it's really cool. Yeah, the crash course, you know, what if you,
your
life depended on it, what would you do?
What would you do if you had a weekend or a whole week where you could take a crash course like that?
Let me just say, put a plug in for people who might want to do a crash course.
Yeah.
Ez literally started podcasting on one spring break.
1 week, yeah.
1 week, I sat down on a Friday and I said no to everyone.
Yeah.
It's spring break. It's like everyone feels entitled to your time. It's spring break.
Yeah.
We're hanging out, right? Like we're getting together, right? You're buying, right? It's like, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
I had a bunch of moocher friends. And so essentially, I sat down for 1 week uninterrupted and I was up at 8 o'clock. I mean, I was so happy. I was making a pot of chili.
Yeah.
Put it on, slow cooker meals, and I had them on. I was at the condo that I had back in the day, and I literally just started learning in the morning, watching some YouTube videos, learning. I started taking notes, writing it down. After 2 days, I was like ready to start like, okay, well, let me go actually see if I can make an account.
Right.
Let me go see if I can actually do that.
Yeah.
On day four, I was at Best Buy getting microphones.
Getting the equipment, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it was wild.
That sounds so fun.
It was awesome. Yeah. But you can do it. I mean, you'd be surprised what mm-hmm. 1 or 2 days of full work into your thing, crash course, will do for you.
Right. You just need to be very rigorous about your time and say, really, that time is for you. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. Some people have a hard time understanding that. But if they know the reason, sometimes you have to let them in. Why are you doing this? And why now and no other time, right? Right. Why?
Yep.
Why can't you make an exception this weekend? No, you already blocked the time for yourself to do this kind of thing. But yep. Anyway, and then I have a second very fun, very short question.
Okay.
If you could only dress in one color for the rest of your life, which would it be? Which would you choose? All your shirts have
black
to
or
be
brown
color.
Could I do? I'd be one of those two.
Yeah.
Black or brown. I like brown a lot.
Everything needs to be a brown then, though.
Even the pants? Seriously? Even the pants?
I don't know. It says could dress only in one color.
Well, if it's only one color, yeah, it would either be brown, black, or blue. And I guess I would default to, you know, I mean, I don't know. People say the blue brings out the blue in my eyes, but I'm not so
That's
sure
true.
I would. I don't know. I'm not trying to impress anybody except for you. So I'd probably go brown. You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Radagast the brown.
Yeah.
You know?
Cool.
Yeah. So what about you? Pink?
No.
Purple?
White.
White?
I'd be Lottie the White.
Wow. Yeah.
No, yeah. White is one of my favorite colors to wear, actually. And it's funny because most, I don't know, a lot of people say black is very comfortable. I like black too, but for some reason, I just feel also very comfortable in white.
Yeah.
And very, I don't know, I like the clean look of just white.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's cool.
So
well, yeah, I would go black and you would go white.
Yeah.
That would be
pretty much
yin and yang. That'd be great. That's
perfect. Okay. Yeah.
Alrighty.
Alrighty. Do we have a question?
I do have a
question. For this round?
You ready for this?
Okay, let's ding it.
All right. What score did Madame Maxime give Harry Potter after he completed his first task?
Great question, but I think I remember the answer.
Shut up. Do you really?
Because she was the first one who gave a score.
What?
And she gave 8 points. And Ron said, not bad. That's not bad at all.
Wow. Lottie took some notes today. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Do you know the other scores for everybody else? Do you know what everyone else?
Let's see. I think there was Maxime at 8, and then there was 2 9. Barty Crouch and Dumbledore were 9. Mm-hmm. 10 from Ludo Bagman.
Yeah.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Very subjective 10 points. Mm-hmm. And then also very subjective 4 points from Karkaroff.
Dang. Okay. I thought I was going to have you with the Madame Maxime thing, but because Karkaroff stands out, Ludo Bagman stands out, I thought maybe Madame Maxime you wouldn't.
Yeah,
you know,
true. True.
That would
right.
be the one that yeah. maybe people would overlook.
Or like Dumbledore, some people would think he gave him a 10.
Yeah, maybe, but you know, you pay attention more to
Dumbledore,
the,
yeah.
The 8 might slip by. That's
yeah.
what I was thinking, but nope. True. Yeah, okay, nice job.
Well, thank you.
Well done.
All right, my question for you is, and this is also about the chapter, and this is probably, you could answer if you read the chapter carefully.
Oh, crap. Well, thanks for the setup there.
What did Victor Krum do to get past his Chinese fireball?
He asked me too quick. Cedric does.
Oh, you have time to.
Cedric does the dog
yes.
situation.
Mm-hmm.
And he transfigured the dog. Fleur does something. What does Victor Krum do? He doesn't use a broom. Man, what does he do? He shoots a spell at it.
Good.
He shoots a spell at it.
Good.
And it somehow. Did it subdue the dragon? No, I'm looking at Lottie. It didn't subdue the dragon.
It was a very specific effect that the spell had.
Did it make him dizzy or something?
Not quite.
Sleepy?
That's kind of what Fleur did.
That's what Fleur did, okay.
Yeah.
It had an effect. Yeah. Don't remember what the effect it was, but I remember he hit him directly with the spell.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of shocking because I'm like, well, who taught him? What was the spell, you know?
Yeah, I can tell
what
you.
What is the spell? Oh, please tell me.
So Victor Krum, he
used
the conjunctivitis, I think.
In the eye. He hit
in
it in
the
eye.
Eye.
That's right.
Because
that's right.
That is one of the only parts of the dragon that is vulnerable. And people have said that this was, it's even in the wiki article, this is because last time we speculated, what would Sirius have said it to Harry? And people think this is exactly what he would have, a simple spell, he would have recommended Harry to use that.
Dang.
Conjunctivitis spell. And you know who else uses it? later on, if you can scroll down to known users.
So, Madame Maxine.
Yes, she did. Mm. And she did that when she
with
was...
the giants.
Right, with Hagrid, trying to get the giants on her side.
She picked it up here, you know? Who knows?
And she had to use that spell for their protection. Yep. So, I don't know. I wish that we were live. I would ask, does Bill deserve half a point?
Yes. No, actually, Bill does not deserve half
a point.
Well,
you knew that he shot a spell.
Yeah, give me half a point. You know what? It's Friday. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
For you guys, it's whenever. I'm not sure. Happy whatever day it is.
People are like, oh, I would have loved for Lottie to be my teacher because she's so nice about points.
Oh, yeah. The teacher's giving out half points for trying. Let's go.
Okay. We have a second question going here.
All right.
Oh, it's purple again. Let's see. Oh. Why is Justin Finch-Fletchley not killed when he encounters the basilisk?
Because he sees it through a ghost.
Who?
Nearly Headless Nick.
What's his full name?
Nicholas Peverell. What's his name? Pevensey.
Sir Nicholas Mimsy Poppington or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
No, you're right. It's just nearly Headless Nick.
I don't know his full name. What's his name, you know?
My turn. You pick the card.
Oh, thanks for.
I didn't know what was there. Uh-huh. I'm so sorry. Shut the whole podcast down.
You pretty much did.
I think you got purple last time, and I got orange last time. So I got orange again.
Okay. The core of Harry Potter's wand is made from what?
The Phoenix Feather.
I think we've done that one though.
No.
We've done that one.
No, we have not.
Don't know. Okay.
Well, you want to ask me another orange
question?
Yeah,
I do. I actually do. Okay. Which one of the three shapes in the Deathly Hallows symbol represents the invisibility cloak?
It's the Dreieck, the triangle.
Okay.
Hey, that was.
What does the night bus have instead of seats?
Beds.
God. Okay.
Okay, these are
3 points. Good job.
No.
Good job.
That's fun. Thanks for the extra training here. It's now 22.5 to 20.5.
I just want you guys to know that for the sake of this podcast, I am also letting Lottie get ahead because the tone and the mood of this podcast would not be so cozy if I were beating her.
Are you saying I'm competitive or something?
I'm telling you guys, we are playing a simple game of what's the game called? Cornhole. Yeah.
Oh no. Yeah.
And that was terrible. I mean, Lottie is ferocious. What was the other one? Cards. Sometimes with cards, not fun. Euchre, I think. It's at one point. Just definitely not fun to play with. So yeah. It's crazy. Like literally gets mad, you guys. To the point where she like stomps off.
You don't believe him, do you?
Yes, they do. They do. And it's a fact. They know how much Ez enjoys podcasting, and they know that I'm trying to create a good.
All right. I think it's time for the summary. Chapter 20, The First Task. Harry's anxiety over facing the dragon reaches new heights. On Sunday, he and Hermione brainstorm possible ways to tackle the dragon challenge while walking around the lake and scanning the library for solutions. Despite their efforts, Harry is still overwhelmed with fear and even briefly considers running away from Hogwarts. Adding to the tension, Hermione grows increasingly irritated when Victor Crumb shows up in the library yet again, distracting them from their work. On Monday morning, before classes start, Harry makes a bold decision to help Cedric as he's the only champion who still doesn't know what awaits him in the task on Tuesday. He follows Cedric to class to tell him about the dragons. Cedric is perplexed, both at the fact that he will have to face a dragon tomorrow and also that Harry is telling him about it. Before Harry can assure Cedric that this is not a joke or trick, Professor Moody appears in the corridor and demands Harry to come to his office. To Harry's surprise, Moody doesn't punish him. Instead, he praises Harry for being so decent and telling Cedric. He then helps Harry to remember his greatest strength, flying, and urges him to think of a simple spell that would get him his firebolt to the arena. With this new plan in mind, Harry immediately asks Hermione to help him practice the summoning charm. Both Harry and Hermione are extremely nervous as they train tirelessly. Harry even secretly practices under the table during divination class. In the afternoon, the two head to an empty classroom and continue practicing late into the night, pushing themselves until midnight and then even more, spending 2 extra hours in the Gryffindor common room. Harry finally gets the hang of it during their last hour of practice, and he goes to bed exhausted. By Tuesday morning, Harry's panic has returned to full force. After lunch, Professor McGonagall escorts him down to the task grounds, dropping him off at a tent near the dragon enclosure. Inside, Ludo Bagman greets the four champions and explains the task. Each champion will face a dragon and try to retrieve a golden egg from its nest. One by one, the champions draw miniature dragons from a bag. Fleur gets the Welsh green, Victor Crumb gets the Chinese fireball. Cedric pulls the Swedish short snout, leaving Harry with the most dangerous of them all, the Hungarian horntail. Just before the first round starts, Bagman pulls Harry aside and kindly asks if he needs any help or advice. But Harry is resolute. He tells Bagman he's got a plan, determined to do this on his own. Harry is to go last, which only intensifies his nerves as he listens to the commentary of each of the other performances. Finally, it's Harry's turn to face his dragon. Feeling like he's in a dream, he steps into the arena. At first, he's overwhelmed by the sight of the large crowd and the life-size dragon crouched over her eggs on the other side of the enclosure. But he manages to clear his mind and get laser-sharp focus on what he needs. Harry shouts, "Accio Firebolt!" And after a few moments, his broom comes soaring towards him. Once in the air, Harry feels his fear fading and being replaced by a sense of freedom and control. Using quick reflexes, precise flying, and a lot of patience, Harry finally tricks the mother dragon into following him up into the sky. Then he quickly dives down to snatch the golden egg. The crowd erupts in cheers as Ludo Bagman announces that Harry was the fastest champion to retrieve his egg. Although Harry suffers a scratch on the shoulder during the challenge, he's relieved to have survived and completed the task. As his small injury is treated by Madame Pomfrey, Ron and Hermione rush in. Ron finally admits that he now believes someone entered Harry into the tournament to do him harm. The two friends finally make up, and Hermione is so happy and relieved that she bursts into tears. The judges then announce the scores. Harry receives high marks from most of the judges. Karkaroff, however, who's clearly biased, gives him a low score of 4 out of 10. Despite this, Harry is tied for first place with Victor Crumb. Afterward, Ludo Bagman informs the champions that the clue to the next task is hidden inside their golden eggs. As they leave the task area, Rita Skeeter tries to ambush Harry for another interview, but he coolly brushes her off with a quick goodbye.
It was basically goodbye. I mean, he gives her like
one word, goodbye.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like we were watching, like you think about what kids, like a diss.
I know.
Kids say, they're like, yeah, goodbye. Like what? Yeah. I mean, what? It's kind of weak.
So funny.
Like, Harry, come on. Who taught it's you to talk some cute. Smack? Like, you should be, there should be some other things. You should, yeah. Ron, where's Ron when you need him? Ron can talk yeah. some smack. Like, he should have been there. So, the funny, here's a funny one from Rings of Power. We were actually talking, I was talking to Lane, and Galadriel's like, just sort of a spoiler for the season finale, but she talks smack to Sauron at one point and she says, "Go heal yourself."
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What if people start, saying that in school, yeah. you know? And it's just like, look, go heal yourself. Yeah. You need to go get That's- healed. Like, what?
It's kind of
crazy, funny. Dude. He's like, that's what an insult.
Yeah.
What an insult. Or don't we all? Anyway, sorry. Okay. So this week, friends, it's time for Oez to, I don't know, Lottie just couldn't really bring it this week and she didn't have her notes together. So
just,
I said.
She was just being lazy.
Yeah. I said, all right, well, fine. I guess I'll go ahead and put the podcast on my back and do it myself, you know. That's a joke. You guys, hopefully people can tell that I'm joking.
Yeah, I think they
Thanks
do.
For laughing because that helps.
Makes it more obvious.
I hope so. Yeah, anyways. Part one, though, we have is, was it a Sunday panic?
Sunday panic. It was Sunday. So but Saturday, they figured out it's a dragon.
That's right. You're
Sunday, right. Sunday, they're like, oh my God, what do we do?
That's right.
I don't know yet what to
do. They start to walk around. Yeah, okay.
Don't we all have the Sunday panic?
God, don't we all, though? I mean, seriously. Like, how are we going to complete that first task at work on Monday?
Right.
Without coffee, we didn't look at any of our, you mm-hmm. know, we didn't look at nothing for work. Like, there's a huge project that's due at 8 o'clock. Oh, yeah, I
have
a theory.
We all have our dragon first tasks in our lives.
Yeah.
Here and there.
They're terrifying. So, mm-hmm. Terrifying. So, anyway, Harry and Hermione, they searched the library again for anything that they could find related to dragons. And although they couldn't really find a true weakness in the short amount of time, they found an interesting part. And I think there's a quote here we want to read. And if you wouldn't mind, I mean, I pulled this from the text. So just
What they found was dragons are extremely difficult to slay. We know that already. Owing the ancient magic that imbues their thick hides, which none but the most powerful spells can penetrate.
It's the ancient magic.
Ancient magic, baby.
This is crazy, y'all. I'm going to go through and do a search in the text to see how many times it's mentioned.
I love that it's mentioned here.
Yeah.
It's, dragons.
It's just, we just call it ancient magic, and it's just mm-hmm. been there in the text.
Yeah.
But the video game Hogwarts Legacy has made it so much more. And you're like, yes. Whoa, dude, what is this ancient magic you yeah. speak of?
You know how in, I'm not sure if there's something like that in Star Wars, that there has been beings where the Jedi or whoever came before the Jedi learned how to use the Force from. But in Avatar, The Last Airbender, you know how mm-hmm. there's mm-hmm. Earth bending and all the other bending styles? And Toph or someone at one point explains to us the first earthbenders were these creatures, badger moles,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and the people learned how to earthbend from them. They had wow. the power first, right? And it's kind of cool if the lore was beings and nature. That's where magic occurred first, and we only learned it from them. We inherited yeah. it from them.
Okay, I like that. Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
dragons are natural, you know, also animals, yeah. air quote animals, but
right. Yeah, it makes sense. So we have you know, fantastic beasts. We have magical beasts, right? Mm-hmm. That have different. Yeah, it's in them. It's, yeah. it's a part of them. And so dragons have that in terms of their scales. That yeah. is really neat, actually. I love thinking about the little tidbit that I found, which was that Newt Scamander went to America to look at the horned serpent and mm-hmm. found the gemstone that was on that dragon's forehead or that yeah. serpent's forehead. And it gave you, if you could acquire it, which was not a good thing to do, right. unless it could be given up freely by the dragon or for right. some reason. I don't know if a dragon would do that or not. But it could give you the power of flight and it could give you the power of invisibility.
Yeah.
So even if you studied that and you understood how that magic worked in that crystal,
yeah.
that would still be interesting enough. You know, who knows if those dragons die.
Yeah.
And then maybe their crystal's still there. Can you find them, perhaps? And then you could study them. I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's a cool, interesting bit. It is interesting to think about these creatures and the magical protections that they have
yeah.
in their bodies and that are right. part of who they are.
I don't think just the skin has the ancient magic, but also the blood. Because look at yeah. all the things that the blood can do. 12 uses of dragon's
yeah.
blood.
Right, right. Exactly. So. Yeah, dragon, it's so interesting. I hope we one day learn more about that and get some mm-hmm. more understanding of what J.K. Rowling was thinking about in terms of...
yeah.
It's like world building a little bit.
Right.
And she pulls a lot of this stuff from things that we have in our own lore, right? So...
Yeah, yep.
I think that's... Yeah.
About dragons. But there's clearly people who love dragons too much.
There are, yes. Harry was reading that book called Men Who Love Dragons Too Much.
What a detail. I've never... remember that was a book.
Crazy. You asked the question, do you think Hagrid should read that? I think he has.
Yeah, he might be mentioned in the book.
I think he wrote the book. I don't yeah. think they mentioned the author. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like he co-authored.
He stuck it into the library.
Yeah.
You know, if
yeah, he's to, like, you know,
to find some like-minded students.
My gosh, it's crazy.
It's funny.
So Hermione suggests, so we're going to move on here, some points. Mm-hmm. They're panicking on a Sunday, and she's suggesting that they use a transfiguration spell, but then she's thinking in terms of using it on the dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is later on, Diggory thinks of the same thing, but he does it to a rock.
Right.
right? Something smaller that he could transfigure.
Yes.
So that's cool. Did he know? I mean, he clearly wondered if maybe there was something in the arena.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think about Diggory's prep going into this. Right. He knows there's a dragon. Harry has told him.
But he's never seen the enclosure, so he doesn't really know what the terrain's like. Yeah.
Yeah, so you might have the idea to transfigure something, but then once you get in there, you got to find something that's a similar size and make it work. So maybe he thought the same thing. Maybe he tried to transfigure the dragon. I don't know if it says that he did or he didn't. In his mind, even just thinking like, oh, walking in, I'm going to try that. And then he says, heck no, it's not going to work. But this rock will. Did he have a plan going into it? So anyways, Hermione thinks the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's thinking that, yeah, it's just she doubts that even McGonagall
could transfigure a dragon. What do you think?
I think she could. I think, I'm going to take it back. All right, maybe she could.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if she could. I think Dumbledore could.
That's what I was thinking, because he was the Transfiguration Master, too.
Yeah, I like to think that McGonagall could, though. I like to give her a lot of...
I know. She's powerful. She's extremely powerful.
Powerful, let me tell you right now.
Yeah.
But I think it would be cool.
I think she lacks the experience. I think she would be able to do it if she could train for a little bit.
Yeah.
She would be able to handle it, but I think she's never just... you know, never taken on a creature like that before.
Yeah. So. Dumbledore seems like the type of wizard who can walk in with like no training, having never done it before and got you on the first time. Or in the moment, have enough protective enchantments around himself to try it once and, oh, I should have done it this way. Mm-hmm. Get it a second time.
Yep.
Versus, yeah. But anyway, I think it is possibly doable.
Yeah.
You know?
And we do think that Dumbledore has more experience with dragons than we know of so far.
Definitely. Way more.
Because, I mean, he studied their blood, so.
Way more. I mean, I think the reason, you know, you look at all the different, the Secrecy Act and all the different things surrounding the protection around dragons and how they're covering up their existence and going back to World War II and all those different things that are happening with the Grindelwald versus Dumbledore fight and the 12 uses of dragon's blood and that Newt was a part of the Iron Belly unit and then he's a part of the dragon research unit and all this
so
kind
cool.
of stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. There's a lot of dragon stuff and a lot of dragon connections there. One day we'll get that story.
Yeah.
Anyway, though, they don't really find anything helpful, and Harry can't sleep that night. He just lays there awake.
Not.
Now, that's... I'll tell you why. I can't sleep at night, but it ain't because of it's not that task. That used to be.
Yeah.
Early on, teacher, I had these anxieties going into Sundays.
100%.
Like going into Mondays, I should say, on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And boy, it was hard to sleep. Now it's just the coffee. Now it's too much coffee and I'm not getting them deep REMs. So, you know, that's the problem. But anyways, he can't sleep. He's tossing and turning and whatnot. But when he wakes up on Monday morning, he's considering for a moment, maybe he should run away.
From Hogwarts.
Crazy.
Isn't that crazy that he's thinking that? But I like that he comes back to his senses.
Yeah.
And that for him... it's actually comfortable to know it's not an option.
No, it's not an option. It's also like it gives him comfort to think like, isn't it much better being here than it is the Dursleys?
Right, yeah.
Is it facing a dragon?
Because that's the only place he knows outside of the Wizarding World where he could go and have a home, kind of. Air quote home, but yeah.
Yeah. I think you have a quote here you want to read too. So, right? It's the only place where he's ever truly been happy and Harry... has an interesting thought.
Yeah, he's thinking, he supposed he must have been happy with his parents too, but he couldn't remember that.
Yeah.
I thought, what an interesting line to put in here.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, to me, felt for a second very random to mention them here because he's often thought about like how happy he is at Hogwarts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his fear is so big that he relates back to his parents, and it's almost like, he can't ask them for advice, and they're not, I don't know if the other parents are actually there to watch their kids. I mean, in the movie, it seems like it for sure, but Amos Diggory is there, we think, because of the ministry, and Fleur's sister is there. It's kind of all over the place. It seems like the family is there to watch, but it's like, Harry doesn't have that family nearby, and it's just stuck out to me that he thought of them.
Yeah.
And he couldn't remember that. But it's so interesting that he, oh gosh, now I'm mixing this up again. He might have not said that in the book. In the movie, at least, when he had to conjure up his Patronus, one of the memories. Yeah, I think that's totally messed up in the movie. It's not true. But in the movie, they used the memory of just his parents talking to him.
Yeah.
And just things that he can't really remember, but he know they're there. Because you think of him as a little baby, but he was 1 year old, like a whole year they spent together, right?
Yeah.
And he supposed he must have been happy with his parents. Yeah, and I think that's just not just he hoped that he was happy and think so, but I think his most inner feelings tell him that he was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, which is, it's interesting. I mean, you're trying to think of, he's thinking through all the different, like, let's run away.
Yeah.
Well, theirs is pretty bad. And then, you know, think about, you know, just throw in the fact about his parents and stuff is interesting. He's trying to find comfort. He's trying to get over his anxiety and his panic and face this dragon.
Yeah. And this is all like Monday morning. He looks over the breakfast table and he's like, no, even if I have to face a dragon.
Yeah.
I can't run away from this place.
Right. Speaking of the breakfast table, he does see Cedric that morning, right? Sees him leave the breakfast table, and he knows that Cedric is still in the dark about the dragons. So he sends Hermione on, and he says, bye, Hermione. I need to go do something, you know. This is a noble act here. Okay?
It's only between me and Cedric, okay?
Yeah.
Just go on to Herbology.
Right. I'll catch up.
Yeah.
And he goes up, he uses Defendo, I think. Right?
I thought it was so cool. Because that's the spell that you learn a lot in the video games. I remember that was a whole task that you had to do.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. He uses it to split his backpack because he's going up the stairs and then he wants to, like, I know, sucks a little bit. But
it's brand new. Cedric said it was brand new.
Listen.
What are the odds?
This is a big deal. Getting caught cheating during the Triwizard Tournament. I mean, it's tradition to cheat.
Yeah, they all say it.
But,
part of it.
Like, you know, I don't know.
Don't get caught at it.
Don't get caught. So he does share with him, you know, we all have dragons. Interesting. And Cedric's sort of like, what? Like, why, you know, why would you want to do that? And it's like, well, we're going to be on even footing now. And he wants to really share with him. He knows he doesn't know. Cedric's got to gauge and look at him and say, does this guy really, is he being serious or is he just playing with me right now?
Right.
Is he a little prankster?
Is he trying to get me into the wrong direction?
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Yeah. So know. I just think, I do think it's interesting that I'm glad that he went and did it. I think we get the line from, I think it's later on, it's Crudy. Who talks about Dumbledore being too, noble and not wanting to engage in the cheating, or maybe it was somebody
true.
Else.
Yeah, he says it.
Karkaroff and Madame Maxime definitely already told their champions, and so he says this was a good thing that he did this.
They want to win.
Right, but
he says something, sorry.
Yeah.
He just says something to show that Dumbledore is only human. So I think there's a little bit of actual Crouch Jr. Shining through.
Yeah,
it's a very odd comment that he makes when he talks about how Madame Maxime and Karkaroff are trying to cheat because they absolutely want to win to show that Dumbledore is also just human.
Gotcha.
I'll find it. Yeah, okay, you go. Sorry, I totally interrupted your thought.
Oh no, it's okay.
Not best practice at podcasting.
No, it's okay. I don't remember. I don't know how that shows that he's human though. I'm just trying to figure
I don't
it.
Know, just to show him that his school is not the best, basically. But the way he phrased it was very odd, right? You already wondering what does that mean?
Yeah.
I think that's part of Barty Crouch Jr. saying that. I mean, obviously he's saying everything. But I mean, that's where he can't really disguise himself very well.
Oh, you mean some of his? Okay.
Yeah, all right. His true personality comes through.
Gotcha.
Through.
Well. Anyway, so the conversation goes down. Cedric is informed, and then all of a sudden, before he goes back, it's cool little details. You know, he's sending his friends on. Tell Flitwick, I'll be right in, and they're all still surrounding Cedric, and it's pretty cool. But then Moody pops out of nowhere, and so Crudy Moody. Has overheard them, and he demands Harry to come to his office. Of course, he needs to check if Harry has prepared, and he needs to point him in the right direction. I guess before we do that, I know I was trying to buy time there while you looked up the quote, but would you have done the same? So before we move into the office, would you have done the same as Harry?
Yeah. And told your opponent something you know and they don't know?
Yeah. Would you have?
Like, you take your advantage away. From yourself, basically.
Right.
I think You know, especially if you're a contestant that just got thrown into the tournament and you didn't really want to be there and you're not really trying, you're just trying to get through and you're scared to death yourself. I think I would have done the same, honestly. And this sounds very much like Asher. And I know you, but since they're not competing directly, like in the later in the third task, they're competing directly against each other where they have to battle each other sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
In this task, it's they're all alone in there, right? Yes. Each of them has to face the dragon.
Yes, their performance.
So I think it's not really a disadvantage for Harry. And he didn't even know so much, I think, about the point system. I think he didn't see it as a huge disadvantage. And he couldn't bring it over himself to watch Cedric go in there unprepared. And they're actually scared for their lives.
Right.
Even though there should be people on the side who would prevent the worst, right? That's what McGonagall says later. Don't worry, there's people who will step in if it gets too dangerous. But I mean, in the past, people have died in the tournament.
Yeah, maybe they don't step in fast enough,
so
there's a mistake.
If I knew that about this tournament, yeah, I think I would definitely tell. If I knew he was the only one. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm competitive, but I'm not that competitive. And so I would have also have been like, yeah, well, if they know, then for sure. Like, if I know that other people know and if I see one guy who's disadvantaged, I would rather myself be the underdog, you know?
Yeah.
I would rather not be the person who's given all this extra information and in the know and then is able to easily win because I was more prepared than that person. I wouldn't feel as good about my victory. Or anything, so
yeah. And how bad would you feel if Cedric was going before you and something really, really terrible happened to him?
Yeah, you could have told him. Right. Yeah. Right. It's not cool. So okay, but anyways, back to Crudy, who overheard them, and he takes him down to his office there, and he's talking about like, hey, do you know what to do? What are you going to bring to the table in terms of this task? And Harry's like, nothing. He's like, what are your He has the whole conversation. I know you're looking up the quote there. I don't know if you found it or
I
not.
I found it, yeah.
Okay, so he's talking about the the different... he's talking about Dumbledore, Madame Maxine. He's talking about Karkaroff.
Right, and saying, why it's okay to cheat.
It's okay to cheat, yeah. Like, he's explaining that little bit of information. Yeah. So after that, then he'll move into, like, what should Harry Potter be doing with all that information. So what'd you find?
Well, he says that definitely Maxime and Karkaroff will have told their champions everything they can. They want to win. They want to beat Dumbledore. They'd like to prove he's only human. That's what he says. And Moody gave another harsh laugh, and his magical eye swiveled around so fast it made Harry feel queasy to watch it. Isn't that, a sign?
What do you think Crudy's saying, though? What do you think he's... Do you think that's him admiring Dumbledore, or do you think that's him...
In a weird way, maybe, but since this is... He's obsessed with the Dark Lord, and Voldemort has probably talked about Dumbledore numerous times, and, like, almost also admiring, but then also it's his archenemy, and the only one that he really fears.
Yeah.
So it's like, if he puts Voldemort here already, like, this is his master, the most powerful... there is that he follows blindly.
Yep.
And then this master seems to be afraid of Dumbledore. It's almost like Dumbledore is not human, even though Voldemort is, you know, even less human, but it's like he's up there. He's what kind of, you know, is he God or what is he doing there?
Yeah.
So he just wants to base, he's just saying like Dumbledore is not that powerful.
I think The way I read it is that like since he's laughing about it, it's almost.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
To kind of, I think, mock the other two headmasters. Yeah. Because I think, like you just said, he thinks Dumbledore is godlike.
Yeah.
He's not human. That, I mean.
So you think that's something that Moody, Alistair Moody, could have said too?
Yes.
So you don't think it's out of character for Crudy in this moment? Okay.
I think it's actually fitting for both Alistair Moody and Crudy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
This is my opinion. I just think that they both probably revere Dumbledore, and it's laughable that Madame Maxime and Karkaroff would think that he is human, that he's beatable, right? And so.
Yeah.
Because if he is beatable, and if Crudy is trying to bring him down a notch, well, then why couldn't Voldemort do it?
Well, the interesting part in the end is to kind of underline, emphasize your theory here. Who are the two champions who were the closest to winning this tournament? I mean, who actually won in the end? Harry. And then who was the second one who actually should have won if Harry wasn't in the tournament?
Yeah.
Cedric.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both the
Hogwarts
champions.
Hogwarts just trains them up better, guys. Yeah. Okay, that's just how it is. But by elevating Dumbledore, you also can elevate your own master, Lord Voldemort.
Yeah.
If you make Dumbledore seem even more, and if you revere and respect his position, and you do think he is worthy of respect. It lifts him up, and therefore lifts up Lord Voldemort. That's what I would kind of think. You know. Now again, nobody. It's the same thing. It's why Snape is able to say things later on, like, you know, he's talking about I've been able to deceive one of the greatest wizards of all time, and they scoff at that. And he was like, "You're a fool if you don't think so."
Yeah.
And I think you could even say that to Tom Riddle, to Lord Voldemort, and he'd be like, "This is someone." Who knows?
Right.
They know power and they can understand. They're in the game. They're powerful enough to speak those words because everybody else who's not and who's scoffing and laughing, they don't even know.
No. Nope.
They're delusional.
Yeah.
They're not even in the same ballpark.
Right.
So, sorry. Anyway. Moving on to some cool things, though. His office is full of stuff, right?
Right. And I thought that was really cool and very much... like very great acting of him, how he explains away all the different things that are happening in his dark magic or lie detectors that Moody actually has, but Crudy, he still has to have him around because it would be really, really strange if he didn't you know, if he's trying to be Moody.
Right.
But he has to explain away that they're all reacting to something, obviously.
To the kids.
Yeah. And very interesting is, too, he has that. Yeah, to the kids. He says to the kids because they're all lying about their homework.
Yeah.
Right. But he's actually telling a lie this whole time. He's lying about his own personality and who he is.
He is a lie himself. Yeah.
Yeah. But sometimes it gets confusing if the items, are they actually in Moody's possession and react to Moody's like the faux glass? Or does it react to Barty Crouch Jr.'s, Crudy's foes? Because it sounds like it switches, like whoever is in the office right now, who's the owner. I don't know where the ownership switches, or if it's just whoever is in front of it, maybe.
Yeah.
Because it seems like a mirror, right? But then it shows these dark shadows in there. And he says something about, like, as long as I can't see the white of their eyes, I'm fine.
Right, right.
And I think later on, I read that when he's in the office with Harry after the third task, he didn't pay attention to it, but the faux glass actually showed McGonagall, Snape, and Dumbledore getting closer to the office. But he didn't, because he was so focused on Harry, he didn't see it. Okay. And then that same faux glass is in the room of requirement later when they use it for the DA. And I think that's where they see, I think it's broken a little bit, but they see the inquisitorial squad coming.
That's freaking sick. I need to do a little short on the faux glass.
I know. It's pretty interesting. So
yeah.
He probably has tons of really, really interesting magical items in there, but that just was described very well. And
I always think, what if Dumbledore would have walked into Crudy's office, right? And he walks into Mad-Eye Moody's office, and it's fake Moody, yeah. And he looks around at all the different things. Anyone else coming in there to check up on him would be right. Like, okay, this is kind of normal. But, I mean, Dumbledore would be able to look at that stuff and see, like, this is off.
Right. For Harry, the explanations seem totally plausible. But I think for Dumbledore,
he knows those devices better. And I think maybe he could be able to read them and see that there's something.
You're right.
Going
I wonder
on.
If he's ever been in that office whole year.
I doubt it. You get summoned to the headmaster's
probably.
Office. He doesn't come down to your room.
Yeah.
That's how it works. So,
probably.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so with Crudy's help, Harry figures out that he has to perfect the summoning charm.
Yeah.
Because he says, you know, what are you good at? And there's this really, it's well written. It's like, you know, he starts to kind of lead him to that point. And then Harry's just like, he knew. What he had to do. He knew he was good at flying.
Right. He didn't actually flat out say to him, you got to learn the summoning charm.
No, right. He knew that you're allowed a wand. So they do it really well in the movie too, right? To explain, you're allowed a wand.
Right.
You're good at flying. How do you put those two things together?
Right.
So, oh yeah, you've been learning, you know, Accio. So let's go do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's basically, so he will go use the summoning charm. He's got to learn it though. He has a block.
Right.
And he's been unable to, he's been going back and forth with Hermione on it left and right. So.
Yeah. Imagine you have like the biggest math exam next day to enter a university for a degree you've been dreaming of.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you have failed this math class 1,000 times, basically.
Yeah.
And you have one night to learn how to do it. Okay, math is a bad example because it's a lot of problems that you have to solve. This seems like one thing. But like a skill that you have to all of a sudden master in one night.
I still think a test is the same thing. So I did a geography test in college, and I didn't know the information, hadn't studied. The test was tomorrow.
Yeah.
And when I looked at it and I looked at what I was supposed to know, I was like, I don't know what that means. I saw probably 50 vocab words, didn't know. So I took them one by one by one.
Yeah.
And by the end of the night, and it was an all-nighter, I had mastered those.
Same. I was always most productive the day and night before. It was magic. It was true magic. And everyone knows that this is a very typical human phenomenon that the closer you get to the deadline, the more productive all of a sudden you get. And the distractions kind of...
Not good learning.
Nope.
It's not good for long-term memory, and it's not good to...
Well, I'm sure Harry never forgets how to do the summoning spell after this, but...
True. We're talking about rote memorization, right. Yeah, we're talking about just memorizing.
Right. His was a practical skill. So.
Yeah, there's some more involved with it. But anyway, I think it's cool. Yeah, he has this moment, and it does feel very much to us like cramming for an exam, except for this is like, I've got to get this down.
And their nerves are like, they freak out both... couple of times at each other.
Right.
And they know this is time sensitive. Yeah.
For a quick sports analogy, a little sports ball here. We did, when we were in the playoffs and I was coaching football, we were all night long trying to crack the code on this team's offense or their defense.
Cool.
And figure out where there were vulnerabilities. And we went over play after play until we knew, like when they line up here, the probabilities. We knew we had the odds in our favor to run a certain play because they would line up in this position, and we knew we could take advantage of it with our play.
Where did you get the statistics from? Is there
we watched a film.
Oh.
Yeah, we watched their film. And so we could calculate, you know, when, for example, this is a team we were playing, I think, Dublin Jerome.
Yeah.
And we knew that their defensive end was in a ghost nine technique. So they're like, ghost. I wanted to pull the ghost in on this, but it means that they're so far out that they're stretched out. They almost seem to the tackle, the right or left tackle, that they're so far out there.
Okay.
That's not a guy that I would be responsible for.
Right, right.
And it's to get out of your peripheral vision so you can't see what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And we started to figure out when that Ghost 9 technique was going to blitz and when they weren't.
Yeah.
And we sort of knew.
Yeah.
And so that allowed us to call certain plays
and
certain options.
And you stayed up all night for that.
Oh, I remember this specifically. Here's a funny story. I only know this because that night, I remember Coach got us all, like it was late. And before Arby's closed, he was like, I'm going to go get you guys some Arby's. We're going to power through this.
What do they have at Arby's?
I had never had Arby's before.
Fried chicken or what do they have?
It's like roast beef.
Oh, okay.
Roast beef sandwiches. I had, honest to God, I swear to you guys, I had never had Arby's in my life before that moment. And he looks at me and he's like, Coach Kirk, what do you want? And I was like, dude, whatever anybody else is having, I have no idea. I'm dead tired. I'm a young coach. I had no clue. And I was like, whatever, man. I'll eat anything at this point. I can't. It was a playoff game. Otherwise, we would not have been doing this. We all had to agree to like say, Coach, we'll stay and do this and figure it out. And we did. We were the offensive coordinator. So I was co-coordinator. And it was fascinating.
It's funny. Now you probably have that connection. Whenever you see an Arby's, you kind of, I don't know how often you've went after this night, but there's probably a connection for you with that food and that night of
I do have to say that after that Arby's trip, so like he got all the food, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, dang, this is good.
I know.
Dang. I remember the Arby's sauce was like, what? It was just like ketchup. I put it on there. And again, you'll eat anything when it's that late at night and you're that tired, right?
Right, of course.
You're like, okay, fine,
just
whatever.
Just to stay awake.
Just to power through.
Some energy.
Yeah. You know, like the game, we had to walk through the next day and it was like a day after that or something. So our final prep day was there. It was crazy. Anyways, we'd been watching film all week. But so it started kind of a little bit of a bad Arby's habit there for a hot second. I was like, oh, what else do they have on the menu? And it went on for a couple weeks. And I was like, okay, this place is
funny.
But anyway, random story. Sorry,
Harry
guys.
Probably has not really a connection, but when he looks now at certain books that he just summoned over and over and over again, like I think it sounds like one of the rune books that Hermione has, right? It's probably one of the heaviest books. And now he has a connection to that with that spell. Or isn't he also summoning Trevor at some point?
Is he later on?
Yeah. He's also trying to summon in during the day.
Oh, yeah.
Divination class under the table to summon a fly. Mm-hmm. And then
it flew right into his hand.
Either it was a stupid fly or I managed to do it. But I thought if it was him, that's probably where he started mastering parts of it, because I can only imagine it must be so much harder on a living being which has its own will.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah. I mean, kind of a fly. I don't know how much.
Hey, don't be dissing flies. Okay, come on now. They get in this house and it drives me insane. So
yeah.
Anyway, but let's finish up with Peeves here. He is interrupting their practice. They went clear until midnight. They really
midnight.
Crammed. Really went after it hardcore. And we've all been there. We've all done it. And now essentially the motivator here was not an exam. He doesn't do this for exams.
No.
So you want to read the quote as to what he says as to what really motivated him to.
Yeah, because they're still going back to the common room and still practicing another 2 hours. So it was until 2 a.m. And not until the last hour of that, Harry feels like he really has understood and managed to master the spell. And he says, well, now we know what to do next time. I can't manage the spell. Threaten me with a dragon. Mm-hmm. And that goes to show you, we talked about it earlier, that we can actually learn a lot of new things that we think are impossible for us to master or to do. We don't have the time for it. The urgency that you give a task can determine whether you will master it or not.
Yeah, your focus determines your reality. How much time and energy and focus are you going to put on it? Yeah. And that urgency does matter, actually.
I say it all the time.
I keep going back to sports, but we used to talk about moving with a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
And if you did, when you would practice, sometimes to help kids remember plays, we would put them in a 2-minute scenario, time crunch, games on the line.
Yeah.
And you simulate it because it helps you memorize it, internalize it, and do it, feel it.
The pressure, yep.
Yeah. So
can be a strong motivator for sure.
Right. All right, now let's move on to part three. The task begins. Mm-hmm. The task is starting, friends. It is time.
Tuesday.
It is Tuesday. Hopefully he was able to sleep in a little bit.
No,
he wasn't.
I can't believe it, but they make the champions go to morning classes before the task.
What a ridiculous joke. What
Sorry,
a joke.
I can't. I really don't understand that part.
No,
but.
Me neither. That's hogwash. I would be so upset. I would honestly be so frustrated. I'd be like, dude, like this is my life is possibly skipping. On the line, and I'm going to like show up at class. Like that's crazy. So anyway, but yeah, McGonagall eventually does lead Harry to the tent.
Yeah.
And she probably wrestled with herself too if she shouldn't give Harry any tips. But we do like that she says to him, do your best and nobody will think any the worst of you.
Yeah. Which, I like that.
I mean, go McGonagall.
Yeah.
Ludo tries. We know Crudy does. Yeah. Dumbledore Hagrid. Doesn't. Hagrid does. And McGonagall says, nope, you're going to do your best.
Yeah, she still doesn't cross that line. I'm a teacher and I can't do it. It's their honor, right? They're kind of honorable, she and Dumbledore. They're not going to help their students. They're champions. And even though I don't know how much Sprout might have gave Cedric tips, but obviously he didn't know about the dragons. And I think Sprout did. So that's kind of crazy.
Do you think the teachers talked in the lounge and were just sort of like, you know, I mean, they're probably talking about it. Like,
I think so, too.
What would you guys do? How would we do it? Does Potter know that
spell?
I don't
know if they did try to hide it from the other teachers so the conversation wouldn't even start around it.
I mean, if Hagrid knows, everybody knows.
I don't know. How often does Hagrid... Well...
I mean, I just feel like he would.
Yeah. It sounds like, though, the dragons only came in that Saturday, so they haven't been there for a whole week.
Yeah.
It's only been a few days.
It's possible. You're right. Mm-hmm. It's possible they just had some time. I'm just imagining, though, the news would spread.
Yeah, absolutely. It would.
The staff would know Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
And only have to keep it quiet from the kids on one day.
Right.
But they themselves could be like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, I imagine Sprout rolling over to see McGonagall when they go to the Hogsmeade and have, like, a drink as well on that Saturday.
Oh, right. I mean, true. Hagrid and Moody Crudy were there talking.
Right.
So probably that's how Crudy knew.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking he probably went there, or that they went there, Sprout and McGonagall, and were sort of like, you know, what would you do?
Right.
Like, what do you do? I think Sprout would have summoned some sort of something from her greenhouse.
Yeah.
And cast it at the...
Probably, dragon. Yeah.
Some huge thing that she could, like, expand, and it would grow the size of a dragon and would have maybe, like...
Or maybe a plant that smells... only to dragons has a certain smell that either makes them go away or
attracts
puts them into a trance or something.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Be cool to see how each of them faced the dragon.
Yeah.
What would they do differently?
What would they do, yeah.
Yeah, is there a more effective way to get past it and get the egg? There probably is. So, anyway, okay, so she leads him to the tent and we're all good there. Bagman is trying to help Harry and we just mentioned that. Like, he basically is like... Right. You can tell, by the way, that he has bet on Harry.
For sure.
He has bet on the underdog. Yeah. He has insider information. He knows he's smart. Dumbledore is not going to let this boy
It surprises me fail. That he didn't even try to manipulate the champions, you know, getting their dragons, their little miniature dragons out of the little sack.
Right. Well, he's under the watchful eye there. So, like, everyone,
Right. Yeah. He leaves the tent and with Harry, and then they step away for a little bit to talk to him, but true.
Right. Yeah, crazy, though. I mean, I feel like he, in, you know, part of it, if he wasn't betting, if I knew he wasn't betting on this, I'd be like, all right, Ludo, that's nice of you, whatever, you know.
But he doesn't do it for Harry necessarily.
He does it for himself. And in his commentary later, he talks about the odds, you know, how things have shifted and how, so you're like, okay, this guy is out. He is obviously, I think, he's addicted to betting, but he also is down just to kind of root for Harry too. I mean, he's rooting for Hogwarts, you know, clearly.
And again, he's supposed to be a suspect for first time readers for sure.
Yes, for sure. So. As sort of as the bad guy.
Yeah.
Okay, so it is very hard to listen to. All the other champions go out there, not know what's going on. They don't post their scores out loud. They just show them where the crowd reacts. That was kind of an interesting note. Yeah.
And it's two things. I mean, one, Harry hears, he just hears everything, and then there's these pictures forming in his head. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you're happy that nothing really happened, even though you hear that some of them got injured. But also, you're the last one who goes, and you heard all three of them. They succeeded. And now you have to, like, the pressure is on, you know. All yeah. three of them have retrieved their eggs. Now right. you have to do it.
you know what I think would be interesting to see in the TV show is, one, to show this. To show each of the champions outside of the tent, it's a different yes. type of iron. It's a different
I would love
type
to
of,
see that. Yeah,
yeah.
Not from Harry's perspective, but from a
yeah
for, visitor from, or
because we've already seen him
member.
Waiting in the tent, yeah. walking around. We Spectator. Get that in the book. We understand. Okay, this is we're with him, and it's causing anxiety
right.
for all of us. But we've already got that. I would like to see a
yeah.
different version of
Me
it,
too.
And just see what they do. For example, I would love to see if Cedric, when he gets like his face is he's on mm-hmm. fire. That dragon gets him, it right. feels like. So it scorched him. Was he crying out in pain and agony?
I don't know.
You don't hear that, really. So it's
right.
like, did that happen quickly and they instantly got some sort of like foam on him? Or was Matt, you know,
I wonder
out there? I
when
know.
Would be the moment for those helpers to step in?
To intervene. Yeah. As yeah. soon as you touch the egg, I'm sure they're like on that dragon, like subduing
I know,
it.
But even before that, if they see it's getting life-threatening... For the champion?
And the crazy thing is with magic, you can reverse a lot of stuff, right?
Yeah, true.
So even
true.
If he's burned up, you're sort of like, he yeah. can, hey.
That's not too
Sed
bad,
still
yeah.
got it. Don't step in, okay?
Yeah.
I know he's halfway on fire, but like he still got this because yeah. they can put it out. And you almost wonder, did Cedric or those other champions learn anything to extinguish flames? You know,
true.
Fleur does, right? She
yeah.
gets her skirt burnt in
yeah.
like Aguamente.
Yeah.
You know, she just kind of... She just kind of knocks out the, you know, like the whatever it is. Like I guess it was smoking or cindered or something. She
yeah.
somehow gets burnt. But I feel like when Cedric gets that hit on his face, he would probably want to use his wand and like do something
yeah.
to his skin and his and it's the whole side of his face.
He might have.
Yeah, but anyway.
At least to cool it.
Yeah.
Not to heal it necessarily.
Yeah. So all right, now it's time. Here we go. Harry's gonna walk into mm-hmm. the enclosure. He's super nervous, and we're about to. He's gotta get his mind focused.
Yeah.
Interesting that you kind of get a feel as you are reading this that
uh-huh.
he's walking in, and prior to walking in, he has to clear his mind
right.
and think about the firebolt.
Yep.
He needs to think about it, despite the dragon, despite the crowd, all of it. It's very hard.
Yeah.
And as he goes in, it is also crazy because in the movie we forget there is an invisible. Force field
yeah.
around the dragon. They walk through it. Did you notice that?
In the movie?
No, in the book. In
no,
the book.
I actually did not.
You didn't notice that? Yeah. So there is a moment. I thought this was really
oh,
cool. It seemed as if the faces, you could say, well, it's just Harry and his
oh,
nervousness, but it's not.
So it's not clearly mentioned, but you're just interpreting
yeah,
that.
It's,
yes, I know what you mean. They're
yeah. They're
blurry.
Swimming and they're blurry and all this
oh,
kind of stuff.
That's kind of cool. I like that interpretation.
Yeah, you think about, remember mm-hmm. the protective enchantment that they put over Hogwarts so spells could not get there, and they had that dome that was created in the Battle of Hogwarts?
Yeah, yeah.
And you could see it's like, you could see through it, but it was not super crystal clear like glass. It was more kind of this, had a texture to it.
Mm.
This is what it feels like. He can still kind of hear them and he can kind of see them, but not quite.
True. Here it is. Yeah. He saw everything in front of him as though it was a very highly colored dream. There were hundreds of faces staring down at him from stands that had been magicked there since he'd last stood on the spot. A Haunttail. Okay. So that's, yeah, he saw him in front of him as though it was a very highly colored dream.
Yeah, it's somewhere too.
He could be, yeah, feeling like he's just in a trance, like he himself feels like he's in a dream.
Yeah.
So
go ahead and, like, you can read the part about the firebolt and stuff, and I'll look and see
yeah.
if I can find it, because it almost says it exactly.
Okay, yeah, but I know, I think I remember it too, though. And I think that interpretation is cool because I noticed in the book specifically, the dragon has nothing around its neck or is not in any way, shape, or form attached to the ground or secured.
Right.
The dragon is just free to do whatever, basically. And I like the thought of a magical protection so it can't just fly off like
yeah.
it did in the movie, go to Hogwarts and set it on fire.
Right, right, right. right.
So I like your idea a lot. Why do I always want to say Hagrid when I want to say Harry?
I don't know.
Hagrid. Harry. I don't know what's around on.
Herod.
But he does. He is able to focus his mind, and it definitely helps that the dragon is not, you know, like how they back in the day let animals, wild animals, into an arena. And have people fight with them, and they were running towards you. In this case, the dragon is just on the other end of the enclosure and really protective, hunched over the eggs, not moving, just eyeing him.
Yeah.
So I think that helps a lot with the focus moment, to focus on his firebolt and summoning it. And so Harry just has a moment of, is it really coming? I don't know. You can't really hear it, feel it, but that moment is over pretty quickly because the firebolt appears and he mounts it, and off the ground he goes. And this is awesome because when the firebolt appears, something happens to Harry. As he soared upward, as the wind rushed through his hair, as the crowd's faces became mere flesh-colored pinpricks below, and the horn tail shrank to the size of a dog, which is funny because Cedric turned the stones into dogs, he realized that he had left not only the ground behind, but also his fear. He was back where he belonged. This was just another Quidditch match. That was all, just a Quidditch match. And that Horntail was just another ugly opposing team.
Yeah.
I love that he is able to turn this situation around and says, just do what you know you're best at.
Yeah, it's great. It really is great. Now, I want you to think, too, just visually when you go to see what the movie did. You're going to talk about the film here in a second, and we're going to see what the book did here as well. So when he says Accio Firebolt, it says Harry waited, as you said, every fiber in him hoping and praying if it had worked, if it was coming. He seemed to be looking. Here we go. He seemed to be looking at everything around him through some sort of shimmering, transparent barrier.
There you go.
Like a heat haze, which made the enclosure and the hundreds of faces around him swim strangely. So to me,
he seemed to be looking
at everything around him through some sort of shimmering, transparent barrier.
Yes.
So I think he flies beyond that. And again, I think whatever the barrier is, whether I don't know how high it goes or what it is, but it does feel like they would put a barrier around it to protect kids.
It's hard to,
you know, it makes sense. So I don't know how big it is. It looks kind of small to have a barrier like that. Like the arena where we see the dragon and we see the kids in in the film looks so small. And I feel like they would want, I feel like it should be more like he's on the Quidditch pitch out in the very center and they are hundreds of feet away. And then you could build an enclosure. You could have that transparent enclosure like around it. And he could fly up high and do all that kind of stuff. So maybe they'll do that in the show or something.
Right.
But anyways, the film was way too dramatic.
Way too dramatic. But it's okay. You know, it's cinema. It has to be somewhat dramatic, that scene. In the book, the Horntail, like we said, is not even chained up. Never chases Harry anywhere back to the castle, not even near it. It barely lifts its feet up from the ground. Like it has its wings spread, barely probably gets up, and Harry's so fast, gets underneath it and gets the egg.
Yeah, one thing that we actually got, not wrong, but we were kind of, when we met the dragon and we were kind of talking about like, oh, isn't it terrible that it's taking, they're separating the
we
mother.
We got wrong,
from the eggs. They're actually just
adding
an egg.
Yeah, the golden egg to the rest of the eggs. So they still have the eggs.
Right.
Although, I forget, was it Cedric's or Crumbs?
Crumbs,
I think.
Stepped on.
Because it panicked, couldn't see, and stepped on her own eggs.
Eggs, it's awful. Yeah. And I just think it's like, well, I felt a little bit better until that, you said that Crumb moment where it's like, okay, this is bad. We're also like hitting in the eye with something. Do we have something to reverse that? Like, anyway, not great.
Yeah.
But whatever, here we are. And so it's a crazy story. They are a bunch of wizards out there, man.
Right.
And the dragons, they do just add the egg to the clutch of eggs.
Right.
So, still terrible, but also, hey.
We just hope that Charlie took care of the dragons after.
For sure.
Yeah. And hopefully not all the eggs were crushed. So.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Anyway, all right. But yeah, that was he does get in there and he does sort of like almost seems like he was sort of like a snake charmer. He was sort of like weaving back and forth with
his
broom.
He had to be very patient because the dragon wouldn't move at first.
Right. And he lulls it into going higher and higher and higher and higher. And then boom, he gets in there. And gets
they compare it also to a fly. You know how we are annoyed by a fly and we just want to, we get up out of our chairs to get that fly, even though we don't want to.
Right.
And it's almost like that for the dragon.
Yeah. Now, you have an interesting question here.
Yeah.
And I want you to read it to me, and I got an answer for you, and then also your additional thought there.
Okay. So Harry is done. He has managed to get the egg, and I think the other champions, even Bagman shouts out loud, "Mr. Crumb, are you seeing this?" Or we don't really know where Crumb is, because Cedric is definitely in the tent where he gets treatment for his wounds. I don't know where Crumb is at, if they stand on the side and they can watch the rest of the champions, or if they had to go back to the tent. We don't really know. But the thought is, when Harry was summoning his broom, do you think Crumb thought to himself, "Wow, I should have thought of that tactic with the broom," but do you want me to go on with the afterthought? Then I thought, well, probably he didn't bring his own broom with him to Hogwarts.
I think he did.
You think he
I
did?
I think he did. I think he...
You think it's in his cabin and... cabin in his... Is that called a cabin on the ship?
Yeah, cabin on the ship. Yep.
Mm-hmm. We call it a Kabine in German. Cabin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think he did have it. I think he probably travels everywhere with it, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I think just like in Hogwarts Legacy, all you got to do is magic it into a little into a little bag. And
I don't
can
know if it can. The fireball is strong.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if it could maybe just go in the... You know the bag that Hermione has where you can
throw
everything?
Oh, yeah. Maybe. Yeah. You're right.
But I think, anyway, knowing you're going to the Triwizard Championship, right? You would probably, Triwizard Tournament. You would probably want to bring everything that you possibly need, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a tournament, and so you may need a broom, you may need to fly, you may need to do different things. You don't know what the tasks are going to be.
Okay.
So, I think he would have brought it, and I think he probably did look at that and go, "Dang, that guy can fly."
Yeah, I think so,
I think he probably was like, you know, Harry's pretty darn good.
Yeah. And do you think, though, he thought to himself, "I should have done that"?
I don't know if he thought that. I think...
Because he seems so much better in the air than on foot.
Yeah.
How they
sure.
describe his movement on the ground.
He might have thought, "Wow, that was a great idea."
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
And he probably was told by Karkaroff to do what he did.
Hmm.
Maybe. I don't want to take away from what Crumb did with the conjunctivitis. No.
That seemed
in the
to be
eye.
The thing that
Sirius
would have...
Or anybody
done,
else, right? It almost seems, since people believe Sirius would have told Harry to do that, it feels like another adult wizard would have told Crumb to do it as well, too.
True.
So I just kind of have a feeling that maybe if he could have picked his own bit of magic, it would have been with the broom, possibly.
Yeah.
To just get by it, you know? Speed, you know, I don't know, his
yeah, you
air
mean
skills.
Like Karkaroff kind of already told him, so he didn't really have to think about an alternative himself.
Yeah. Anyway, Madame Pomfrey, though, she's got her hands full with these guys because they're all coming in with injuries and different things, and she has to treat Harry's shoulder with some purple potion to clean it out, which in the heat of the battle, the literal heat of the battle, we didn't even realize that Harry kind of got some, he got burned up a little bit, right? Cause they're
he actually got hit by the tail's spikes.
Oh, did he? So it was like a poison or something?
That's what I'm thinking. It's never
or
mentioned that it's... I think it's supposed to be that just bruises, but because she uses that purple potion, I was like, is it maybe venomous, whatever is in the spikes?
Yeah.
Or at least have some other, because they're super magical beings, right? Other negative magical effects on your skin when you get scratched by it.
Right.
So I thought it was cool that she...
She knows.
She just didn't tap her wand and everything was fine, but she actually had to use a special potion.
You know, when you're doing something dangerous like this, you typically want doctors on board, you got paramedics, you've got life flight there. This is dangerous, right? If in real life we were all facing a dragon, you'd have every daggone medical person in the building ready to go. Because, like, this guy's probably going to get hurt.
Yep.
And here is Madame Pomfrey.
Poor Poppy.
She can do it. She's like, "I don't need anybody.
No.
I don't need a crew."
But she She's mad. Oh, she's mad that the students are in danger all the time.
Yeah, she is. But she's also like, gosh, all right, fine. I can fix
it. It's almost like her record, you know?
Yeah.
She wants to keep everyone healthy and good.
Yeah.
And if you keep bringing in all this dangerous stuff here, then how is she supposed to keep her record?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point.
Anyway.
Harry gets good scores, though, tying with Crum. We got Karkaroff and Bagman turned out to be extremely biased and subjective judges, as we mentioned earlier. So that's pretty clear, and we'll see that kind of continue.
I bet Karkaroff sat there and was doing the math. Okay, what? At least he can't go further than Crum. And he couldn't go. I mean, four is already ridiculous.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
He couldn't go. He thought, okay, can't go any lower. At least let them tie. So I think he was doing the math.
Yeah, I think he was doing the math. You're right. You're right.
Anyway. So. Best part of the chapter.
Let's go. Yeah, give it to me. You want me to read it or you want to read it?
Weasley is our king. Weasley
Bring
is our
back.
King.
Bring him back.
Weasley is our king.
He's the guy.
He's back, guys. The return of the Weasley King.
Right.
And I would love to read this part because it is so heartwarming. It's my favorite part of this chapter. What happens next in the tent where Harry gets treated. So Hermione and Ron come in, and even though Hermione is stoked and so happy and is dancing around that Harry did it,
yeah,
he only has eyes for Ron in that moment.
Yeah, I know.
Because he's so surprised that he shows up there. And Ron says, Harry, he said very seriously, whoever put your name in that goblet, I reckon they're trying to do you in. It was as though the last few weeks had never happened, as though Harry were meeting Ron for the first time right after he'd been made champion. Caught on, have you? Said Harry coldly. Took you long enough. And then Ron opened his mouth uncertainly. Harry knew Ron was about to apologize, and suddenly he found he didn't need to hear it. It's okay, he said before Ron could get the words out. Forget it. No, said Ron. I shouldn't have. Forget it, said Harry. Ron grinned nervously at him, and Harry grinned back. And the two are friends again, just like that.
It's great.
I love how that's written.
Yeah, it's written really well.
It feels so honest and so true. And there's, okay, in that moment, nothing matters. Everything's forgiven because the most important thing is our friendship here.
Yeah.
And I know what you want to say, but you don't need to say it even. I don't need to hear it anymore.
Right. So.
So cool.
So crazy, because I teach a lot of boys.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this wouldn't happen with girls. I don't know. But I just see this a lot in my
yeah.
Students.
They don't need as many words.
Well, even when you start to.
Yeah.
Even when you start to. This happens a lot. It's okay. Hey, don't worry about it. Water under the bridge.
Yeah.
We don't say much.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why it feels so good, because you're like, that happens. Yep. That's actually real. I had a big beef with some of my friends in school, and I remember we went to our like high school reunion, saw these guys, and they walked over, and I was like, guys, and they started to say it too, and then we all just kind of stopped, and we were like, water under the bridge.
Yeah.
And they were like, yep, what? Yep, doesn't matter.
It's awesome.
Let it go. And it was like, wow.
I think that's cool. I think that shows you what's important, right?
And if you can
really, not that words don't matter, and it's good to hear, probably.
Yeah, for sure.
But at the same time, you know how hard it is for Ron. You know, Harry probably knows in that moment it's been a rough time for Ron as well, and it kind of gives him the feedback. Okay, Ron, you know that sometimes he felt like, okay, he was catching Ron's eye, or he wasn't sure if Ron wanted to come over or talk to him. And now it kind of verifies all these moments that they still had that connection going on. And there's nothing to be said about it. It's done. It's forgotten. And really, from that moment, they don't mention it anymore. It's not
They never do.
They just, boom, are friends again, and they do the same stuff.
Yeah.
I love when, I don't have it written down here, but Hermione is so happy she bursts into tears, and she's kind of stomping her foot and like, you guys,
she hugs them both,
you're ridiculous and stuff like that, and hugs them and dashes off, and Ron just says barking mad or something
barking
like that.
Barking
mad. I love that. It's so Ron, and it's so, they're right back where they left off.
Right
and,
back, yeah.
And they storm off to get Harry's points to hear his judgment or the points that he gets.
Right.
And Ron tells him everything that happened while Harry was waiting in the tent. And it's just he's commentating basically the whole thing. And it's so cool. It just feels so good.
Yeah. He's our eyes and ears. He's in there. He's like, this is what this, you know, Fleur did this, Victor did this, and so on.
Yeah.
And they go back, come on, Harry, we got to go check your scores, right?
Right.
They go look at his scores and he's pissed.
Oh, I know.
Karkaroff, you dog. He is so mad. He's like,
and Harry didn't really care.
No, he's just so happy.
Yeah.
So happy to have his friend back.
Yeah.
And that made it all worth it. He got through the task, his friend's back. Everything seems like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, this is good. But yeah. And he's on his way out here, and then Rita Skeeter tries to stop him for an interview, and he's not having any of that, right?
Nope.
So he tells her off, which is good. And then a whole party is waiting for them in the Gryffindor common room, and you ask the question, what about the party in Hufflepuff common room, the carriage and the boat?
Right?
What kind of parties
were waiting for them?
Well, we see that in the TV show. Those are the things that I think, like...
The Hufflepuffs are right next to the kitchen. You can't tell me.
Oh,
if
man.
The house elves are preparing something for Fred and George, they probably did for the Hufflepuffs. Those are their best guys, their best buddies.
Yeah,
right?
Do you know what would be really cool?
What?
Knowing how tragic that Cedric's ending is, it almost makes it more tragic to see a scene like that.
Yeah.
To see him just sort of walking peacefully, like follow him for a second. Point of view. I know it's supposed to be Harry.
No,
story,
let's follow someone
but
else.
Follow Cedric downstairs. Yeah. He's washed up. He's cleaned up. Madame Pomfrey had him for a bit longer. His friends had to go back and prepare in the common room. He's walking the halls alone, grinning, heading down, just somber moment, just thinking like, wow, I did it. Right? Mm-hmm. And there's a quiet behind the door and they're ready just to like... He walks in and
because he chills.
I know, right? They're all pumped for him and you get to be... like there with Cedric for a bit longer and you get to, I think, you know, kind of fill out his character a bit more. Mm-hmm. And I think we would just be bawling by the end. I will already be bawling, but I mean, it's so crazy. I would love to get to know the Puffs better because I think they carry, it's not on the page necessarily. It's just sort of
in between
the lines that they carry so much heart and there's so much, I don't know, just unspoken.
And even though they're supposed to be nice and all, people think they're nice, but they're so loyal to Cedric. They are hating on Harry. I mean, before this task, they were hating on Harry. Yeah. And Cedric was still fine. Like, he was on both sides. He was like, okay, you can... Like, he wasn't telling them off, but he wouldn't participate either.
Yeah.
It shows, you know, what a great guy. But also shows you, like, those... They are 100% supporting Hufflepuff here.
Oh, for a fact.
Friendship over Harry.
Yeah, yeah. So to see that and to see some maybe house elves in there who are like also celebrating Cedric. What if the house elves are team Cedric? Oh,
I feel like,
God.
Again, that the house elves have a special bond to some of the Hufflepuffs.
For sure, for sure. To see them have a relationship and to maybe call some of the house elves by name. Hey, can you get us more? Whatever.
Right.
You know, we're running low.
Because I feel like the house elves also live... near the kitchen.
For
you
sure.
Feel like
for
their
sure.
quarters are somewhere
yeah.
right next to it. So they're right next to the Hufflepuffs.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully, maybe they'll open up in Hogwarts Legacy a little section where we can go into the kitchens. And
yes.
We can do some stuff
that'd be
there.
So cool.
And you can only do it as a Hufflepuff.
Yeah.
God, that'd be sick.
I wonder if that's already a thing and we just haven't figured it out.
Oh, we got to go. Yeah, we need to play more. I love when it's on and we're playing it.
Yes.
So. Okay, well, the first task, my friends, we did it. We got there.
Awesome.
We got through. It is exciting. It's we're back with Ron, so all is
well.
Let's move on.
Makes me happy.
And even Harry and Cedric have some respect between them.
Yeah.
Everyone at Hogwarts knows this is for real.
Yes.
Even Draco's going, dude, I love how they shoot Tom Felton in the movie because he's like, oh, like he's into it. Even watching Harry. He's a little bit nervous.
Oh, I've never really
watch him. Go,
watched
yeah.
Him
when
that
you watch
closely.
His watch his reactions, he seems to be very invested in not Harry's demise necessarily. It
but
doesn't
just
seem
in
that
the
way.
Whole
just like
the trauma relation.
Yeah. So anyway, all right. Well, friends, that's pretty much it. Anything you want to mention the giveaway here, real quick? We got that. Is that this week what we're doing?
It's the last time I will mention it because it will be. Let's see. I was trying to pull up the calendar on this computer, but it's refusing to obey me.
Oh, wow.
So I have to pull it up on my phone real quick. We have next week, Wednesday, this will drop. So it's the 16th. That means if you're listening to this on Wednesday, the 16th, and you have not entered our 100th episode giveaway, you still have 2 days to do so. Please do so. We would love to send you a little something as a thank you. We're giving away 3 little Hedwig owls that were handmade, crocheted by us.
Guys, I helped, okay?
No, you did. I actually,
to be honest with you, they're really good. They're really cool, and they're really cute.
Yes.
And this is a sort of a growing thing. These are some of the... there you go. Put the little guy in the camera.
Hello. I need a new home.
I need a home. Please. Somebody enter
please
the...
Please enter the giveaway.
Yeah. And so some of you have. Thank you home. So much, yes. To those of you who already have. And we'll do that. It's quick turnaround on this one. I think it's fun. Lottie is a whole new project. Things coming down the line that she's excited about. I'm excited about for her.
Yeah.
So definitely go support that. Yeah. Like, what's the...
just a reminder how you enter... Oh, and the other prize. Sorry. We're getting ahead of ourselves. The main prize you can win... Any item that you want to pick from our Shell Cottage store. We have tons of t-shirts as well as sweatshirts or hoodies and stuff like that. Yeah, any item that you want on there, you pick it, you tell us which one, which color, which size, and we'll have it delivered to your house if you are so lucky to win that prize. And you enter by sending us a DM, a direct message on Instagram with your favorite moment from the past 100 episodes of Shell Cottage Radio. So pick one moment, one episode, one thing that you really, really enjoyed that, you know, really made your listening experience. Why do I always choose such hard words?
I don't know. You do, though. You do. I can't say them. And you.
This is probably not part of your favorite moments. So let's get over this moment real quick. Yeah. Okay. Send us your favorite moment. And that's how you enter. That's all you have to do. If you can give us the episode number, that's great. If not, we'll find it. And then we'll post next episode a little compilation of some of those moments.
Remember that time when Lottie was trying to read the chapter summary and... We were getting underneath Harry's cloak, and Hermione was there too. And
I mean, I was trying for probably an hour.
There was a note that said "just summary. In case," and she thought it really meant like Justin.
Justin
Case, and his last name was Case. It's Justin Case.
I still think about that when I hear the name Justin.
It's all me too. Me too. I actually do all the time. So anyway, okay. How many times have I said anyway? So come on, Ez, what's wrong with you today? I don't know. It's end of the week. It's crazy.
Baboons.
We appreciate you guys. You guys are wonderful. Thank you guys for tuning in this week to Shell Cottage Radio 94.7 COZY. We hope you're going to join us in the future. We thoroughly enjoy meeting new positive Potter people that don't be like bang bang bang
baboons.
If you don't want to miss out on the next episode, then be sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review and follow over on social media at Fleur and Bill.
If you truly actually enjoy our content, then consider supporting our growing wizarding family on Patreon or Apple Premium. You will find all the links down below. Thanks so much to all our current patrons. We appreciate you to Luna and back. On our next reread episode, we will discuss Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, Chapter 21, The House Elf Liberation Front. Say that 3 times really fast.
The House Elf Liberation Front. 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 The House Elf Liberation Front.
Now you're part of it.
Okay.
So make sure you tune back in next time. Until then, have a great rest of your week. Thanks for joining us in our Shell Cottage today, this Friday afternoon. We know it's not much, but it's home. Everything is so blue. Blue. Knox.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save. Like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.